Hi, I'm Deb McIntyre, and you are listening to the Shamans Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I hope my podcast gives you some insight into shamanism and its ancient practices and processes. This podcast will cover elements of shamanism that you can incorporate into your everyday life. You will also be listening to other people's experiences via my podcast guests. We will talk about many topics such as primal woman, primal man, the shaman's talking stick, the shaman's roundtable discussion, as well as some more general topics that I might throw in. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, or perhaps you are listening whilst out walking or in the car. And welcome to this week's episode. Welcome to today's episode, Severing Relationships. Today we are joined by Zuli Robles. Zuli is a Machi and Two-Spirit woman. Zuli's parents were both from Indigenous backgrounds. Her mother was from the south of Chile and belongs to the Mapuche peoples. Zuli comes from a line of female shamans, or Machis. Her father came from the north of Chile, Peru area, and was a descendant of the Atacaminos Inca peoples. Through her parents, she has been fortunate to grow up with deep ancestral worship beliefs. She is a two-spirit woman, the indigenous term for LGBTI. I am excited to welcome Zuli to today's program. Welcome, Zuli.
Hi, Deb. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I'm so interested to hear more about your background. Can you explain to our listeners about being a Machi and a two-spirit woman, what that means?
Indigenous cultures of both North America and South America, two-spirit is an umbrella term for any of the LGBTI peoples, because the belief is that we embody both genders, and how we choose to live in that way allows us to be closer to our spiritual roots, and they are often used as conduits or as shamans for the different tribes. There is a much less stringent view of gender and orientation. And generally speaking, that's all people identify as, so we don't go into the different letters, I suppose, of the alphabet. It's just a much more broad term, and it allows a lot more freedom within the different orientations and, I suppose, gender spectrum that we're starting to see in general society. With regards to the Machi part, it's very much a traditional shaman role that's been kept alive, although in the Chilean background, the Mapuche people, there were more female shamans than males. There are still men, but it is a more common role that's played within a tribe. I'm still coming to terms with it. It took me a long time to really embrace that background, and I've realised that by embracing it, I've embraced all of myself and have really become a whole person, because that was something that's very much missing in my life, but also in the people around me. And it gives me peace and balance with myself, with others, and with everything around me.
What gets me excited that in Indigenous ancient culture, there's this acceptance of gender fluidity, if I can use that word, where the two-spirit woman is, like you said, a very general term and uses a conduit as a shaman or conduit to the spirit realm. Is that correct in what I am saying?
Absolutely. And also the view is that it is very much part of humanity. So there's not a question or a need to change anything. It's just we expect some people in society to be two-spirit, and that is a very something to be sort of not so much looked up to, but to be embraced, and the gifts their own to be enjoyed by themselves and by the people around them. And a lot of that is based on the spirituality that they bring to the table, and also probably in a lot of other cultures, the wisdom of not being gendered. So being able to see the point of view of both sides of the spectrum, and probably living slightly different lives that are not necessarily as role-driven as they would have been in a general patriarchal or matriarchal society.
I love that. Oh, wow, that's amazing. So our topic today is about severing relationships. So I wanted our focus to be on that discussion. Have you ever been in a position where you have decided to remove yourself from a relationship or friendship?
Absolutely. I think we all have. I think to begin with, we need to look at what we see and how we see relationship. Relationship is not a solid being, which is the way it seems to be touted. You fall in love with someone or you become a friend, and that is a solid, unchanging thing. Whereas in reality, it's a life form. It evolves, it changes. It's an organic, non-constant organism that's fed by two or more people. I think in relationships or in relation, we find ourselves and we find each other. And that relationship can be physical, romantic, platonic, familial, and in every other form, but those forms change and shift and change back, and we need to see them as free-flowing in that way. And that brings us to severing of relationship, because we need to look at our relationships and ourselves within those relationships and see what serves us. And by serving, I don't mean, does this relationship always make me happy? Is the person I'm talking about always on my side, or they're always doing this? It's more, does the relationship bring something to my life that I would not have without that? And once we reach a place where we find that the relationship is unequal, we need to reassess whether we want to stay in that relationship. Does the relationship serve me? Does it align with my principles? Am I my true, authentic person when I'm with this person? And also the really simple question of, are we good for each other? And if the answer is no, then it's probably time to sever that relationship in its current form. And I think that's a really good basis for our discussion to start, because I think there's no reason to speak in absolutes with a person, with a relationship, with any situation. We don't know what the future will hold. We don't know how we may change and come back into each other's lives. So a severing is a ending of this version of the relationship at this time, because it no longer serves me or you or both of us.
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree with that. You know, and I was just thinking as you were talking, you know, as we evolve and grow within self, but also within a relationship or a friendship, and sometimes we grow out of that relationship as it now stands, but who knows what may happen further on down the track, you know, whether that person or people come back into our lives and the relationship takes on a different form, or, you know, we go on our own journey, whatever that may be. Do you find like the ending of one? I always think about severing relationships as a grieving process, because we're actually ending something that we are emotionally involved in. You know, we're sensory beings, our feelings are involved. And how difficult is it when you end a stage or when you end one relationship in the form as it is now?
Of course, it's immensely painful, and it's an immense grieving. When someone passes away, we grieve for the person that we can no longer have in our lives. And really, when we sever a relationship, it's no different. We no longer have that person in our lives in the form that they are in. So as we said, it may not be absolute. You may grow in a way that aligns with each other in the future. But for the moment, and rather than living or having that, we need to have that in the back of our minds, but that shouldn't be our driving thing. The driving thing is at this moment we need to sever, and therefore we have to grieve as if that relationship and that time and that person is no longer in our lives. So there is a grieving, and it's a very natural grieving, and it's something that we need to admit to, but also revere in a way, because it allows you to truly understand that at some point this relationship gave you a lot and it was worthy, and the time that you spent together was worthy, and therefore not falling into this trap that a lot of people feel, that if especially with relationships with another person romantically, that you feel that when you break up, we wasted so much time. You never waste time when you're with someone. Yes, you might have learned something that may not have been good for you, whatever, but at some point something aligned in them with you and it gave you something. And by grieving that process, you're honouring those things. And if the relationship has been a long one or a very important one, then you're grieving and honouring the wonderful times that you had, the joy that you brought each other, whatever understanding and lessons that you learned. And by accepting that, it also makes that grieving process more, I suppose, more deep, but also more forgiving, so that you don't carry this anger into, you know, 3 years later and you're still angry with them even though they're no longer in your lives. It finishes it, severs it, you've honoured it, and you can move on. And that's why it's very, very important, as you always say, and I completely agree with you, is to sever the relationship with love, to basically send that person off, whether it's with words, with a letter, with a ritual, or even just within your heart, to send them off with love and to wish them the best in their journey, and not to have that feeling of, you know, it failed. It's not a failed relationship, because it ends. Relationships come and go. It's the only time a relationship fails is when it doesn't, you find nothing of worth in there, and that's usually because you're still too hurt to see it.
Yes, I love that. The acceptance, you know. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, absolutely profound. I'd like us to shift our attention now and talk about, you know, when someone's in a relationship, perhaps they're feeling trapped and they don't know the steps that they need to take to, you know, sever that relationship, to end it. Perhaps they feel a bit helpless. You know, I'm a big believer, and you've heard me say this, in that it's, you know, being intuitively led, not trying to discern how you can do things with the mind, but asking spirit for guidance, or asking your spirit guides and your ancestors for guidance. So if I was a person who felt trapped in a relationship, but knew that this relationship was not serving me for whatever reason, and it was time for me to step away, what steps could I take to sever this relationship?
I suppose one of them, once you've realized that the relationship is no longer serving you, you reach a point where you, by actually making that acceptance and that admission to yourself, that's the first step to begin with, because you start to notice the feelings that you have when you are around the person. If they're causing you anxiety, if you dread seeing them, if the balance of enjoyment to not enjoyment in their presence is wholly unbalanced, or you find that you give too much or you don't receive anything, it's admitting to those things without putting a label on it, without putting any blame to it. This is almost to be a little bit clinical about it. not you do this and it causes me this. It's I don't feel supported, or I don't get asked a lot, or I feel anxiety when I'm going to see this person. That admission is probably the first thing that you need to do. And then with regards to spirit, I would recommend that people actually spend some time and look within themselves and go, why am I still bound here? What binds me to this person? Is it fear? Is it that I think that I'm not going to do any better? Is that they need me? Once you look at those reasons and you're, you know, in a way a little bit cold about it, you can see that none of those reasons serving me. And from there, how can I release this bind in the most kindest and gentle way, both for myself or for the other person, and understand that if the relationship isn't serving you, it probably isn't serving them as well. So even if they're getting a lot out of it, that doesn't serve someone. If they're only coming to you for all of their advice, then it's not serving them because they're not learning. But what is it that drives me to stay in this relationship? And once you sort of start putting those things on the table, you can start moving down the path of actually saying, severing it in a physical way. And whether that is looking and having the conversation. And a lot of the times, sometimes the kindest thing is to be very upfront and say, at this point in my time, in my life, this no longer serves me, and I ask that we spend some time apart, and that's it. You don't have to give reasons all the time, because that's when you're pulled into a lot of emotional baggage and things like that. And if you are in a space where you can do that without judgment, absolutely. But if it's just going to cause you more anxiety, you need to sever it for yourself and understand that you're protecting something that's worth protecting, and absolutely you are in control, and it gives you a control, because that feeling of I don't like this relationship but I can't do anything about it is an incredible lack of control. And part of control is actually giving it over to spirit and saying, help me find the best, kindest and loving way to end this at this time in this form.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. The other thing too is when we are in this relationship or feeling trapped in a relationship, looking at why we are attached. You know, there is a need there. What is the need about? Is it, like you mentioned earlier, that I'm going to be alone, that I'm not going to find anyone, that I need someone emotionally attached in my life to feel worthy? So, yes, connecting to spirit and the inner guide within, and start asking yourself these questions as to why are you holding on with your fingernails? And you also mentioned, Zuli, that, you know, a lot of the time the other person too knows that the relationship isn't serving them, but is waiting perhaps for you to step up, or is hoping that, you know, is just happy with the way things are, even though they are unhappy in the relationship. And it does take a brave person. It does take a courageous person to say, this relationship isn't serving me. Because what happens is when we're in a relationship that, again, if I use the same words, is not serving us, we're actually giving our power away, which is what you said before, control, power. And by us making that choice and making that decision to step away, or to have an understanding of why the relationship is not serving us at this point in time, is powerful in itself.
Absolutely. I think one of the other reasons why people stay in relationship, and it's a very noble reason, is that we see the person that the person could be. So it's whether it's a little bit of inner saviour there. But I think that, once again, it doesn't serve you to be in a relationship hoping that the person changes, because then you're not being authentic to yourself or the other person, because what you're waiting for is for a different version of them. But also you don't know if you being in that position is holding them back as well. You may both be holding each other back, and severing the relationship may bring you to the points that you both need to be at. So sometimes in these situations, you said it's brave. I also think you need to be cruel to be kind. And it's sometimes a little bit of ego that goes, oh, but I can help you. It's not your job to help them. It's their job to help themselves, to find that path, to find that person. You can tell them that they are the potential, they have endless potential, but if you're finding that you are waiting for it and that's the only reason that's holding you into a relationship, you shouldn't be there. Don't you holding and waiting maybe the thing that holds them back from becoming that person.
So with these decisions that you have had to make in the past, have you felt within yourself that you have grown from these lessons?
Absolutely. I found they'd be very, very painful, absolutely. But at the same time, I found them freeing. I felt lighter and freer because I realized how much energy it was taking from me to be in a relationship that didn't serve me. And therefore, yeah, I learned immensely from that, just knowing that you have a limited amount of energy. And sometimes by staying in these relationships, you're taking that away from yourself and your journey. And it's cutting you off from ancestor, from spirit, from self. And it might even be cutting you off from people that also are very big in your lives, and they deserve to have that energy who are lifting you up, rather than they get a part of you, but you're using up all this other energy in this relationship, which is not giving you anything. So it's about honoring self, but also honoring the people around you.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So do you have a deeper understanding now, leading back to your comment about self and of your own journey?
I do, and I think one of the biggest lessons for me, and it's a very obvious lesson and we hear it all the time, but lessons have to be learned in your head and in your heart and in your gut before they really sink in, otherwise they're just a theoretical thing, is that a relationship may be incredible, it may be overwhelming, but that doesn't mean it's good for you. And a person may be aligned with you in a number of ways, whether that's spiritual or emotional or any other way, but that doesn't mean you're good for each other. And sometimes things that bring us an enormous amount of enjoyment still aren't good for us. So it's, once again, learning what serves me and being very, very authentic about it and going, yeah, I'm having a great time, but do I feel good about myself? Am I being the person that I want to be when I am in this relationship? And if the answer is no, then it's there for you and it's already told you. So you have to put aside those things and understand that not everything that feels great or that brings you, you know, immediate joy is good for you. And that was the lesson that I needed to learn.
Yeah, wow. That's powerful. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Look, I think that we underestimate how difficult it is to sever friendships. You hear a lot about ending relationships with partners are front and centre of every magazine, every podcast and things like that. But friendships endure long times. Your friendships are there from when you're in high school and sometimes throughout your lives. And they can be the things that are the hardest to sever because you've grown together. But that doesn't mean you've grown in the same way, and you can grow apart or you can grow in different directions, or one person can stop growing and you can continue in a completely different light. So there's nothing failed and nothing wrong about reaching a point and saying this no longer serves me, and also to be open to the fact that perhaps in the future something will change and we'll come back into each other's lives. So it's about looking at things and really taking stock of what in your life is moving you towards where you want to go.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you, Zuli, for sharing your wisdom and knowledge on severing relationships. This can be quite a painful topic that, many people don't like to address, and they continue in their lives with the way things are because they find it too difficult. So hopefully we've provided some information and provided some insight and give them a better understanding of the truth around severing relationships. So thank you to our listeners, and thank you to Zuli. Namaste and blessings.
Thank you, Deb, and thank you to your listeners.